grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, it is your glory always to have mercy. Bring back all who have erred and strayed from your ways. Lead them again to embrace in faith the truth of your word and to hold it fast. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Miss Cindy is going to share the children's sermon with us this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. I think most of us are feeling pretty good, right? Sunday morning. Now, today, I'm going to talk a little bit about a scary subject, fear. And God tells us always, do not be afraid. So I'm going to ask the congregation if they've ever been afraid to raise your hand. How many of you have ever been afraid? Yes. You know, a lot of times we think we're the only ones, but that's not true. Today we hear in the Bible tells us, do not be afraid, for I am your shield. Who knows what a shield is? Anyone know what a shield is? Yes? You want to tell me what a shield is? That's right. And other people want to share what a shield is? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Something that protects you or blocks. Now, I'm not sure if you've seen Star Wars, because I think it's PG-13. Oh, a few people have. Okay. And what do they have in Star Wars? Yes? Do you know?
Lightsabers,
but they also have, yes?
Blasters.
But they also have, yes? Shields. And can you see their shield?
No.
No, you can't see their shield.
The Force Awakens, the first one.
Thank you. But normally we can't see them. All we can see is when the arrows or the other things that are being, the bombs that are being thrown at us don't get through. We see that invisible shield. Well, this is kind of how God is with us. God is like an invisible shield. You know, I'm going to tell you that in the Bible, there's like 59 times, I counted them, actually, I Googled them, but that says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Now, I think 59 is a pretty good number because it means it's more than once a week we can be reminded. And it's okay if we're reminded even every day that God's with us. In Isaiah, we hear, do not be afraid, I'm with you. Do not be afraid, I'm your God. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that even though, like the shield, God's with us, and we can't see God a lot of times, but we can talk to God. And when we talk to God, we normally call that what? Anybody know? Yeah? Prayer. When we talk to God, it's called prayer. And sometimes we do it out loud, but sometimes we do it to ourselves or silently. So God's with us all the time, but we're not always aware that God's with us because we can't see God. But we can always talk to God. And what that means is that when we pray, it calls to mind we know God's with us. So when we pray, we can say things like, when I pray, I say, hey, God, thanks for being here, you know, because I know God's with me. But when I pray, it means I'm aware God's with me. So you can create your own prayers. How might you pray to God when you're afraid? What might you say? How about, dear God, I'm afraid, and I know you're here protecting me. Would that make you feel better? Maybe? So I'm going to give you another prayer. We can pray together. But you can make up prayers all the time and talk to God. Like, sometimes I'll say, Jesus be with me. Or I might say, Jesus protect me. It doesn't have to be long and fancy. You're just talking. I think about when I pray to God, I'm talking to a friend. Someone's close by me. So you can do that yourself. But why don't we pray this, and I'll say a line, and then you can say it after me. Okay?
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Dear God.
Dear God.
Help me remember.
Help me remember.
That when I'm scared.
That when I'm scared.
You're with me.
You are with me.
Thank you for being with me always.
Thank you for being with me always.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being with me today. Thank you.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 27 responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?
When
an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid.
One
thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The day of trouble he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling and set me high upon a rock.
Even now he is my head, above all my enemies round about me.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Speak in my heart and say, Seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
Show
me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. If I had not believed that I should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. A reading from Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that very same hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
The older I get, and the longer I hang around church, the more convinced I am that we are missing something essential in our faith when we insist on focusing only on the me and Jesus relationship with God. Of course, our individual relationship with God is important, but we are baptized into the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. We are children in the family of God. Praying together as church, we say, "Our Father." We claim our identity and our connection as church as we stand in that long line of believers that stretches back further than we can remember, back further than Abram trying to count the stars, and that will continue to stretch out far in front of us, way past our memory, after we pass from memory. We claim a connection to the members of the church and to the mission of the church that is so much greater than anything that we could do as individuals. The point is, the church is more than its individual members. We have a community identity and a community mission. We stand for something. This season of Lent gives us time to pause and to ask the question, do we resemble the body of Christ? Do we resemble Christ? Or have we taken on the characteristics of someone else? Do we think of our Father? Do we think of God's sons and daughters, our sisters and brothers with whom we journey? Or are we focused only on ourselves and on our own individual journey? Do you think of yourself as a member of the flock? This passage from Luke's gospel shows us Jesus in anguish when he sees his flock refusing to belong to him. He's halfway up the Mount of Olives, and he looks across the valley to the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Jesus cries in distress, "How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." This is the lament of one whose love has been scorned, whose protection is rejected. Jesus wants to deliver them from evil, to protect them from the fox, shelter them under his wings, but he is rejected. On that site, on the Mount of Olives, today, there is a chapel called Dominus Fletit. The Lord weeps. The building itself, has anyone seen this building? All right, I can make it up. The building was constructed in the 50s, in the mid-50s, very modern design, and it's supposed to look like a teardrop. If you have a lot of imagination, you can see that teardrop. The back wall is a glass window that looks out on the scene that Jesus would have seen, across the valley to the city of Jerusalem. But the interesting thing for me in that church was the altar. The front panel of the altar has a mosaic that depicts the image of the mothering hen that Jesus used when he stood at that place looking at the city of Jerusalem. What caught my attention is that it doesn't at all look like a hen. It's like a medallion with the words of scripture around it, like a hen wishes to gather her flock, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it says, around the medallion. And here in the center is this big white bird with a gold halo around its head and a big red comb on this white bird's head, looks like a crown. And the wings are spread wide, covering these bright yellow chicks that stand at her feet. But just like I don't think that the building looks like a teardrop, I don't think this bird looks like a hen. It looks more like a rooster to me. It looks angry, and it looks like it's ready to spit fire at anything that would come near those little chicks. It's a very fierce-looking bird. But Jesus said hen, not rooster. I think the artist just wanted to show something more protective, more strong, more fierce than a chicken. A rooster can defend himself. A rooster has spurs on the back of his feet that he can use to protect himself. A rooster has a very strong beak, and he can peck really hard. And a rooster is usually the aggressor, and he doesn't wait to be pecked first. A rooster is a stronger protector than a hen. But Jesus did not liken himself to a rooster, but to a hen, to a mother hen whose primary purpose in life is to protect her young. A hen doesn't have spurs. A hen doesn't have a real strong beak. A hen doesn't have an aggressive nature, although she will attack if you go near her young. About all that a brooding hen can do is fluff herself up and look big and sit on her chicks. And she will give her life for her chicks. She'll put herself between the chicks and the fox, even as ill-equipped as she is. The very least she can hope for is that she will satisfy the appetite of the fox so that he will leave her chicks alone. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers a brood under her wings. What a comforting image of God, those warm and counseling wings of God wrapped around us. When we pray Our Father and ask God to deliver us from evil, it is that protecting God that we are calling upon. A commentary written on the Lord's Prayer many years ago says this: children in the arms of another know when they are secure. They fear falling even before they can recognize danger. Do not drop us is a plea to God to keep us from falling into a perdition we cannot even imagine, but can only be terrified of. Don't let us fall. The mother bird hides her defenseless young under her wings at night to keep them from the enemy. The Lord's Prayer directs us to say, deliver us from evil. Carry us in Your arms and we will be safe. God will not drop us from His arms. We pray that God will hold us up from falling and deliver us from every evil. If you have ever loved someone that you could not protect, then you understand this image of a mother hen, and you can understand Jesus' deep lament. You can understand why Jesus wept. This is an image of vulnerability, total vulnerability. I'm not a parent, but I have seen and heard the angst from so many parents. There is no way to protect your children from all the threats of life. And that not only leaves parents profoundly vulnerable, but promises a level of suffering that you simply would not endure if you had not bound yourself in love so fully to your child. I once heard it said that a parent is only as happy as his or her least happy child is. That's vulnerability. All you can do is open your arms. You can't make them walk into them. That's the most vulnerable position in the world. Breast exposed, arms extended. But if you mean what you say, this is how you stand. This is how Jesus stands. And this is how the church stands. Vulnerable, open. The body of Christ in the world. Arms extended to protect. Arms extended to invite. But it leaves us vulnerable. It leaves us unprotected, except we know one who stood in this position before that. We belong to a flock that is gathered, that is gathered under the protection of God's wings, the Church of Christ, a big, fluffed up, brooding hen offering warmth and shelter to all kinds of chicks. The Church of Christ, planting herself between the foxes of the world and the fragile chicks, offering herself to be eaten first so that she could sacrifice before she would sacrifice even one of her brood. The Church of Christ, staying true to who she is by refusing to run away from the foxes. And this is where we, the body of Christ, the flock of Jesus Christ, cry out to our Father, deliver us from evil. This is where we come to the church to be fed and sheltered. This is where we come to stand up for those who are in need of being fed and sheltered. This is where we learn to give what we have received, where we teach what we have learned, where we forgive as we have been forgiven, where we love as we have been loved. This is where we remember who and whose we are, The body of Christ gathered together by a mother hen who would give his life for us all. And so we have the courage to pray, "Our Father, deliver us from evil." Amen.